Jeremiah chapter 39. We look at the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, the taking of King Zedekiah. There are actually at least four records of this event. Jeremiah chapter 39, Jeremiah chapter 52, 2 Kings, the last chapter in 2 Kings, and the last chapter in 2 Chronicles. We're going to be doing a little bit of flipping today to do some comparison of Scripture. So if you want to mark Jeremiah chapter 39 so that you can easily come back to that, that might be a good idea. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you very, very much for this precious word, for all of the things that you have said in this word. And now today, especially for the subject that we're going to consider, that you keep your word. Build our confidence in the things that you have said. Increase our faith as a result of this study today. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. There was a time when a man's word was binding, not only for the sake of those to whom he pledged his word, but to himself as well. If a man said, "I give you my word," you knew he would do exactly as he promised. Even criminals. A man's word was sacred. He would keep his word if he bound himself to it. The old-fashioned handshake began as a means for two people to assure each other that neither was carrying a weapon. Over the years, this simple gesture came to be a symbol of a contract or a guarantee of an oral agreement. No witnesses were needed. A man kept his word if he pledged it. Things have changed, haven't they? Oral contracts are still legal, but you have to prove such a thing. And many people these days think nothing of lying, even about pledging their word. But God keeps his word. This has two implications. Not only does he do exactly as he promised to do, but God is a God of integrity. Here in chapter 39, we have the record of the time of the end coming. Chapter 39, verse 1 says, "In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem and besieged it. And the city was broken up," it says in verse 2, "and in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon," in verse 3, "came in and sat in the middle gate," even all of those men that are named there. This is an introductory statement to what's going to be said in the rest of the chapter. And what I want to do is take you through a little exercise and show you what God said he would do, and then show you in chapter 39 what he actually did. This is going to perhaps seem like a little bit like a classroom, but this is a very important exercise to reinforce for us that God is a God of his word. He keeps his word. When he says he's going to do something, he does it. So, First of all, Zedekiah is taken captive. Look back in chapter 37 and verse 17. Chapter 37, verse 17, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, that is Jeremiah, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. That's what God said. Chapter 38, verse 23. So shall they bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned. That's what God said he would do. Chapter 39, verse 4. This is what God did. Chapter 39, verse 4. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out by the way of the plain. Oh, he's escaped. He's fled. He's going to get away. Oh, no. Verse 5. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. God said, because you refuse to do what I told you to do, you're going to be taken. You're going to be taken by the Chaldean army. And sure enough, he tried to escape and couldn't get away. Chaldeans took him, just like God said. In fact, to make this even worse, look in verse 6 of chapter 39. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon, adding insult to injury. The next thing God said he would do is burn the city. All the way back in chapter 21, there are a lot of references in Jeremiah about this. Over and over again, he said he would burn the city. Jeremiah chapter 21 and verse 10. Chapter 21, verse 10, for I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. He says the same thing in chapter 32 and verse 29, in chapter 34 and verse 2, in chapter 34 and verse 22, in chapter 37 and verse 8, chapter 37 and verse 10. Over and over again, he says he's going to burn the city. Now, it didn't have to happen. Chapter 38, verse 17. Remember this? Chapter 38, verse 17, then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire. Not be burned. But, verse 18, if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Well, did Zedekiah go out to Nebuchadnezzar? No, he tried to escape. He stayed in the city as long as he could until the enemy broke down the walls, and then he tried to escape. God said, if you don't surrender, this city will be burned. Well, what happened? Chapter 39. This is what God did. Chapter 39 and verse 8. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. And God did exactly what he said he would do. God said the people would be taken captive. Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 7. He says, "And afterward, saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, and such as are left in the city from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life." Chapter 24, verse 9. Chapter 24, verse 9. "And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt to be a reproach and a proverb and a taunt and a curse." That's what God said he would do. Well, this is what God did. Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 9. "Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained." In fact, over in chapter 52 of Jeremiah, chapter 15, it says, "He carried away certain of the poor of the people." Here's a bit of irony, because notice here in chapter 39, verse 10, "But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people." Some of the poor were left there. "Left of the poor of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time." Do you remember a few weeks ago we studied when Zedekiah made the declaration that all of the servants of the people were to be set free? But the people couldn't stand to be not be pampered, and so they made them all come back and made them serve again. Well, it's these poor people who had nothing that were given possession of the land to till it. And then God said that Jeremiah would be okay. Jeremiah himself would be okay. Go back to chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 10. And Jeremiah is lamenting at this time, if you recall, "Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me." And Jeremiah is having one of those personal pity party times. And so the Lord says to him in verse 11, the Lord said, "Verily it shall be well with thy remnant." And he's speaking directly to Jeremiah, and this is in the singular, and the word remnant here is referring to the remaining days of Jeremiah, the rest of his life. You're going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay, Jeremiah. "Verily, it shall be well with thy remnant, the remaining of your days. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction." So the enemy's going to take care of you. Everything's going to be okay. Well, what did God do over in chapter 39 for Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 11. "Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, Take him and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent and these other fellows also. And verse 14, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people, that is, the poor people that were remaining in the land. So it turned out just as God said. God said, it's going to be all right. And it was for Jeremiah. Just look, God said that Zedekiah would be taken captive. And he was. God said the city would be burned. And it was. God said the people would be carried away captive into other countries. And they were. God said everything would be okay for Jeremiah. And it was. Then we have this interesting thing here at the end of Jeremiah chapter 39. And verse 15. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison. And this is reflecting back now when he got this particular prophecy, he was still in prison. And it's regarding verse 16, go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian. You remember who I have such a hard time saying his name. I don't know why. Ebed-Melech. Remember who he was? He was the one who interceded and put his own life in jeopardy to get Jeremiah out of the dungeon where Jeremiah was surely going to die. And while Jeremiah was still in prison before the siege ended, God gave this word to Jeremiah about Ebed-Melech. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day. So he's going to deliver Ebed-Melech, he says, saith the Lord. And thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid, for I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Now, it doesn't tell us what God actually did. It only tells us what God promised to do. Do you think Ebed-Melech was okay? I have every confidence that God kept his word because he kept all his other words. He took Zedekiah captive. He burned the city. Took a lot of the rest of the people captive. He made Jeremiah be okay. This was the promise that he gave to Ebed-Melech. One of the reasons that we can have such confidence that things will happen as God said they will is because there is a record of God saying he would do something, and he did it. Just like in this chapter. Four times, we note it, God said he would do something, and he did it. So the fifth time he says he's going to do something, is he going to do it? Did he do it? We don't have a record of it, but absolutely we can have every confidence that Ebed-Melech was okay. I want to step from here to talk to you about the confidence that we can have that God will keep his words. Because, you know, there's a lot of other things in the Bible that God has said he will do that he has not yet done. Is he going to do them? Absolutely. Because God is a God of his word, and he keeps his word. The whole matter of what took place here, as it's recorded in Jeremiah chapter 39, was a matter of keeping his word. One of those records back in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Would you go there, please? 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 17. Second Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 17. And we read the record, reviewing again what took place as Nebuchadnezzar overran the city of Jerusalem. Second Chronicles 36, 17, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young man with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young man or maiden or old man, or him that stood for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of the princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof, and them that had escaped from the sword carried away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia. Now notice verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. All this was a fulfillment of what God said. God said, this is what I'm going to do. And he did it. Well, let's consider some other things that God has said that he has not yet done. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. We learned a couple of days ago that everything is not okay in the world, didn't we? The tragedy that took place in Paris and the terrorist attacks that took place there. It has undoubtedly caused a great deal of fear in a lot of people's hearts. New York City was on high alert. Is there something of which we should be afraid? Should we be concerned? Well, notice what God says he will do for us. For us who are in Christ. This is for those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. This is something that has not yet happened, but God said it's going to happen. He said this in verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that? Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So all of those that we have loved and enjoyed in the church that have passed away in this physical world are with Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's going to bring their spirits with him when he comes. And it says, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So all of those whose spirits are coming with Christ, their bodies will be raised up out of the grave and glorified, reunited with the person. Then verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what God said is going to happen. Is it going to happen? Absolutely. Because God keeps his word. And so he says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We can be comforted in the midst of a tumultuous world because we know God is going to receive us unto himself and take us out of this place. But then there's this, Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Just as God repeatedly told the Israelites he was going to burn the city of Jerusalem, God is telling this generation, judgment is coming. And this is one of those places where he says it. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. They think they've seen big earthquakes. They haven't seen one this big yet. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, And the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Sure enough, here comes one of those extraterrestrial bodies coming to earth. They're always afraid of that, aren't they? Oh, we had a near miss, 193 million miles away. It was close. Well, these are going to fall and hit the earth. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? None of that hasn't happened yet. Is it going to happen? Do you believe it? Absolutely, it's going to happen, because God is a God of his word, and he keeps it. Revelation chapter 16, verse 2. We skip through a lot of the things that are going to happen and go to chapter 16. And we see some terrible things that are coming. And remember, Jeremiah kept saying, the enemy's coming, the city's going to be taken, it's going to be burned and broken down, and the false prophet would say, oh, don't listen to Jeremiah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Everything is going to be okay. There are still false prophets today that are trying to convince people that everything is okay. There was a news report just the day before the terrorist attacks that ISIS had been contained. And everything is okay. Denial of reality. And so when we read things like we're going to read here in chapter 16, and we tell folks, well, you know what's going to happen in the tribulation period? And they're going to look at you like the people looked at Jeremiah. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Everything's going to be okay. Will it? Chapter 16, verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. You know, we think about the death part of it. What happens a couple of days after all of those dead fish and things are floating around on the surface? Can you imagine the stench that's going to exist? Daily deodorant isn't going to take care of that. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Oh, there's the climate change. It's going to get hot. Global warming like they never saw it before. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Listen, the folks in the tribulation period going through this stuff are going to know where it's coming from. And when we read about these things that are, it hasn't happened yet. But it will. Because God is a God of his word. And he does what he says he's going to do. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him and that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel in chapter 20, verse 1, come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations. Should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Well, that hasn't happened yet. But it's going to. Because God is a God of his word. And he does what he says he's going to do. And then chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That hasn't happened yet. But it will. Because God is a God of his word. And he always does what he says he will do. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. I want you to notice this wonderful truth in the middle of this verse. It was impossible for God to lie. Grab hold of that, folks, and trust it. Because everything in this book has come from the mouth of God. All scripture is given by inspiration, as God breathed from the very mouth of God. This is the breath of God. That's why he considers it so important, as in Psalm 138, and magnified his word above all his name. It's his breath. It comes from his own mind, from his own heart. And it's impossible for God to lie. And therefore, everything he says is absolutely true, and everything he promised to do will absolutely come to pass. God always does what he says he will do. Would you go back to Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14? Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14. Joshua 23:14 says, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Joshua is about to die. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. All the promises God made to Israel, he had kept. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. Solomon's built the temple. They're dedicating the temple. Solomon has prayed an amazing prayer at the dedication. And this is the benediction. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. Blessed be the Lord, that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, the servant. Isaiah 45, verse 23. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 23. God says, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God has given us his word. It has proceeded out of his mouth. He has declared it, and it is true. Not only will the things in this book come to pass, but we can understand that God has pledged his sacred honor and his sacred integrity so that he will do what he said he will do, and he will keep all of his promises. Those words he gave at the end of that promise to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Those words in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We can gain comfort not just from the words of that promise in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but we gain comfort from the words of all of this book, knowing that God is a God of his word. By his sacred honor, he will do what he has promised to do. And not one word of his mouth will fail. What ease to our minds, what rest to our souls, what joy to our spirits to know that God keeps his word. Yes, our world is unstable. And everything is not okay in the world. But for those of us who have God's word and trust it, everything is absolutely okay because God keeps his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful truth. May it sustain us day by day in hope of what is to come, in the assurance of what you have promised to do, in spite of all the turmoil around us in this world. May we be comforted this day with the knowledge and the confidence and the truth that you are a God of your word and you always do what you promise to do. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.